Today's scripture comes out of Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins."
Thanks, Manny, for that scripture reading. So Mary and Joseph, at this point in the text, in this point in the story, they are betrothed to be married. Real similar to engagement, but a little more legally binding, even than an engagement. They haven't consummated the marriage yet, but it is going to happen. And at this point of the betrothal, it's a bigger commitment than engagement because the only way out is divorce or death. And it's usually kind of like engagement is today, maybe kind of a year-long process. But during the betrothal period, Mary shows up pregnant. And Joseph knows, well, that's not my baby, which would be angering. And beneath that anger would be some sadness, right? Some brokenness on Joseph's part. Because it appears as though Mary has given her heart and herself to someone else that wasn't him. That's so hurtful. That's so painful. And so Joseph could be thinking things like, "What is so wrong with me that you would go and do something like this? Why am I not good enough?" And Joseph's probably thinking, "This is not how I thought my life would go. This is not how I envisioned my marriage, starting with someone else's baby." He probably felt robbed. Like, I was supposed to have my wife only for me and a child that is completely mine. But it appears as though Mary went and messed this all up, ruined all his plans, ruined all his hopes. As far as he knows, right? At this point in the story, all Joseph knows is Mary has a baby and it is not mine and I had nothing to do with it. And that is, in normal circumstances, it's very wrong. Is very sad. It appears as though Mary has done something very sinful and something very sinful against Joseph, very hurtful. So Joseph has got to be feeling pain and anger and all these negative emotions. And kind of some of them should be directed at her, at the offending party. And under Jewish law, he had the right to put her on trial, to publicly shame her, to have everyone point at her and say how shameful she is, to have this big trial that just humiliates her. She could even be executed, if not doomed to a life of poverty and embarrassment. Had she actually been unfaithful, which at this point in the story, Joseph believes, that would be justice. Putting her on trial, humiliating her, making her face the full consequences, that would be giving justice. She would get what she deserves as someone who sinned against him. And Joseph could be like, "Ha ha, that's what you get for being unfaithful to me. This is the consequences of your awful actions towards me." That's what Joseph could have done. And it would have been well within his rights. He had a right to do that. It would have been well within the confines of the law. The law would have said, "Joseph, you are doing right here by doing this." But sometimes you'll see this in the New Testament. You see this in the life of Jesus. You see this in Paul's teachings in 1 Corinthians. Sometimes it is best for us to not exercise our rights. Just because you have the right to do it does not mean you should. And that's what Joseph is showing us here. Because sometimes exercising your rights hurts people in a way that you should not do. And so Joseph used wisdom here and decided, well, I have a right to do this, but I will not exercise it. I think Joseph was an extra righteous man. So rather than legalistically following the law, he could legalistically follow the law and say, all right, let's put her on trial, let's humiliate her. Rather than legalistically claiming his rights, rather than administering justice in what the picture, this didn't happen, but in what could be a very vindictive way, Joseph chose to show mercy. Mercy on someone who broke his heart, who apparently, we know she didn't, but it appeared as though it was someone who broke his heart. He showed her mercy. He didn't want to give this person who betrayed him, he didn't want to give her the full punishment that the law would allow, well within his rights. Joseph is grace-filled. That is so merciful. That's got to be a big part of the reason Joseph was chosen to raise Jesus. We talk a lot about Mary being chosen, but look, Joseph looks like this. He's a special man. He's grace-filled. He's merciful. I can't help but think this kind of lines up with some of the things Jesus kind of points to. I wonder if some of Jesus' teachings and some of Jesus' thoughts about the Pharisees and about the law and about grace and love, I wonder if some of that was actually passed down from the way he was raised by a good, righteous father. Because of our introduction to Joseph here, we see that he chose grace rather than to drop the hammer on someone. And it's just really an important theme that you see in the Gospels. Like looking at like the Pharisees, right? The Pharisees show us that sometimes you can follow the law to a T. You can go here and you can do every single little rule, but you can still miss the mark. You can follow every law, but still miss the mark. Sometimes you can be a great rule follower, but still have no love. You can follow the law and have no love. The law is a guideline. Sometimes you can do it all right, but still in your heart be very wrong. And the Pharisees show us that. And maybe we've sometimes lived that ourselves. So Joseph used wisdom here and chose to not exercise the full rights he had under the law because he didn't want to harm Mary in this way. And he was really risking his own reputation in doing so. I think this is really important to note. It would have been better for him to make a big public spectacle, to make this big trial, to make it very clear, hey, everybody, that is not my baby. I didn't do anything outside of marriage that I shouldn't have. I, Joseph, am innocent. Mary is guilty. He should have, to protect his own reputation, made that very clear. I've done nothing wrong, because he's risking a lot of rumors. Hey, did you see what Mary and Joseph did? Hey, did you see what happened outside of wedlock? You see what went on there? Joseph got her pregnant. You know Joseph's kind of a sinner. So he's risking, by not doing this public trial, he's risking his own reputation. He's risking rumors. He's risking whispers. He's risking people saying, Joseph's kind of a sinner. So he should put her on trial, not just to be vindictive and give her what she wants because he has the rights to do that, but he should also put her on trial to protect himself, to protect his reputation. And so in this time where maybe I would be tempted to be self-absorbed and make this about me, Joseph chose to not protect himself. He chose to protect her. He chose to protect her over himself. That's what good men do. That's what good fathers do. That's what good husbands do. Even when she didn't deserve the protection, even when she hurt him, he's still protecting her over himself. That's the kind of man I want to be. That's the kind of man I want my son to be. Sounds like the making of a good man and husband and father. But he would rather risk his own reputation, his own embarrassment, rather than give this woman the punishment she legally deserves. That's a strong man. That's a compassionate man, loving, selfless, grace-filled. Now, I don't want to be in Joseph's situation, but I want to be a man like that, a man of strength and grace. So Joseph's plan is a good one. It makes sense. But this angel appears to him in a dream and says, Joseph, God's got a different plan for you here. You need to stay with this pregnant lady, and you need to raise that kid. And it confirms this is from the Holy Spirit. And so listen, if I'm Joseph, I don't like this plan. If I'm Joseph, I'm thinking, I can't just have a beautiful bride that's not pregnant. That's not how I planned on this going. This is not how my life was supposed to pan out. This is not how my marriage was supposed to pan out. God, can you do this to someone else, please? I don't want to be afflicted with this. But he doesn't do that. Joseph is righteous, and he submits to God. When God expects Joseph to do something difficult, Joseph does it. When God expects him to live out his life in a way that hurts and is uncomfortable, Joseph does it. Joseph was willing to alter his own plans, his dreams, to submit to what God's plan is. May we be fathers that do that. See where God is working and meet him there. In trying to stay on theme, I got some verses I want to share with you that were painted at the All Church Retreat that I thought were fitting here. So check out these two beautiful pieces of art, by the way. The one that it doesn't have it listed there. This is Proverbs 16:9. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. I've seen this like paraphrased at like Bed Bath & Beyond with like, we plan and God laughs. You know, have you seen this? Which is fair. You know, that is fair. We make all these plans, but it's really God who really sets the path. And we need to learn to adapt our plans to God's plans. Because I think sometimes my prayers are like, all right, God, here's my plan and here's how I want you to bless it. But I need to change that mindset. I need to say, hey, God, where are you working and what is your plan? And I want to join you in what you're doing. And at first, I'd say, when you accept these curveballs in life that God gives you, you will be blessed. But I don't want to communicate that we'd follow God so that we can be blessed. And I don't want to communicate that that always happens. Sometimes you accept God's curveball in life and other people are blessed, and maybe not you. And that's the kind of discipleship and commitment God calls for us. I also like this other one. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. I love the idea of God's word, not just his scripture, but his word, his living and active word, guiding who we are, guiding our decisions. And here you see Joseph being guided by God's word. May we, like Joseph, submit to God's will. May we not go kicking and screaming. Sometimes that's what it takes with me. Sometimes I fight God a little bit more and it takes a little bit more work. But may we just submit to him, see where God is working, and join him there in that. And the angel says, name the baby. And this is one more important thing I want to point out. By naming the baby, by Joseph naming him, he's taking responsibility for that child. He is saying, this child is mine. This child is my legal heir. What is mine will become his. That is a big deal. He's taking responsibility for something and for someone that he could argue. He could make the argument, I shouldn't have to do this. This isn't my responsibility. He could make that argument, but he's going above and beyond. We've already seen him now at the very beginning. He's going above what the law requires. Now he's taking on responsibility that maybe he shouldn't have to. He could make that argument. And that's what a good dad does. They take on that extra responsibility. Responsibility where they could bicker and argue and say, you know what, I shouldn't have to do this. But a good dad and a good leader, they say, you know what, I'm going to take this on. If somebody's got to do it in the family, it's going to be me. It's going to be dad. I'm going to take that responsibility. And you could also say maybe they also, while they take more responsibility, they may also take more blame. Or, I think this is a big one, taking more responsibility than you should may also mean taking on more suffering than you should. A good father will take on more suffering. If someone in the family has to get the short end of the stick, who's taking it? Not your kids, not your wife. If someone's got to get the short end of the stick, dad takes it. Dad takes it. If someone has to suffer, if someone has to get the bad spot, if someone has to get the least food, dad's going to be that one. The dad sacrifices so his family gets what is best. So Joseph shows us what a good man of God does, what a good father does. And so as we celebrate our fathers today, we also celebrate a heavenly father that was willing to suffer so that we don't have to. That's what a good father does. If someone's going to suffer, it's going to be me. That's what our father does. He's willing to suffer so that we don't have to. We have a mighty heavenly father. And if you want to give your life to him, we invite you to come now as together we stand and sing.